Welcome to this week's message from A New Church. For more information, or if you'd like to contact us, please visit our website, newchurch.nz. Thanks for tuning in, and we hope you enjoy this message.
A couple of weeks ago, I started a series, it's just two parts, all about, it's just called Bigger, and just understanding that God is so big and that our vision needs to be bigger for what he can do in and through our lives. And in part, it's sort of a lead up for our expansion offering, because I do believe God wants us to grow and expand as a church so that we can have a greater reach and a greater impact in our community and beyond. But not just that, for our lives as individuals, we've just got to realize God has got so much more for us. He is so excited about his plans for our lives. He wants to be a huge part in our everyday's comings and goings. So we've just got to think bigger and dream bigger, because that, I do really believe that honors God, because he's such a big God. So in 1792, a few hundred years ago, there was a 31-year-old preacher called William Carey. He spoke to a small group of pastors, and his sermon only had two points, which is this: expect great things from God and attempt great things for God. He was basically saying, let's think bigger. We've got to think bigger about who God is and what he wants to do and what we can do for God. And he shared that with his pastor friends. It was the beginning of what's known as the modern missions movement. These pastors went home so impacted, started to preach that same message, two points, to their congregations, and it just started something incredible. It's become known as the Deathless Sermon, because it's the effects of it is still going on and on. Expect great things from God, attempt great things for God. And William Carey's text, his verse for the sermon was this, Isaiah 54 verse 2. Enlarge the place of your tent, stretch your tent curtains wide, do not hold back, lengthen your cords, strengthen your stakes. So this was a prophecy or an encouragement to the nation of Israel. While they were still in captivity in Babylon, they were slaves, but God started to share with them and to encourage them. You got to think bigger. There is a brighter day ahead for you. Get ready for it. Prepare for the increase I want to give you. And then we see that the Apostle Paul in the New Testament used that very same chapter. He was basically quoting it in Galatians chapter 4, and he applied it to the New Testament church, saying, as New Testament believers, this is what God's got for us. Expand your tents. Think bigger. Get ready for what God wants to do in and through your lives. And I really do think it's very, very applicable and timely for our church in this season. That's why I wanted to share about it and talk about also, like Christy has shared already, the expansion offering. So I know I'm doing a little bit of a recap, but it's important to cover some of the things that I shared last week. Just two points that we need to understand. They are facts. They can't be disputed. Number one, God's will is that you prosper. That is God's will. He doesn't want you to be in poverty. Poverty is a part of the curse and the fall. It's not, God doesn't want us to be in poverty. So Psalm 35 verse 27, the Lord delights in the prosperity of his servant. 3 John 1, chapter 1 verse 2, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. Sometimes we get a little bit unbalanced with this, and we think prosperity is all about getting rich and famous. Like I explained a couple of weeks ago, I do believe a better definition of what the prosperity or the blessing of God is that when people can see in our lives his evidence, the evidence of God's greatness, the evidence of God's goodness, the evidence of God's character all over our lives, I do believe that's what biblical prosperity is. The second point we covered was God's plan for us has always been that we expand and that we increase. And you go back to the first book in the Bible, the book of Genesis, when God told Adam and Eve, be fruitful and increase in number. Go and fill the earth. When Jesus was talking about the church, which is us, he said, I will build my church. It's all about expansion. It's all about increase. And the Great Commission to Jesus' disciples, which is us as well, go into all the world. That's God's plan for us, is that we prosper and that he expects us to increase and grow. The parable of the talents, the master represented God and he gave his servants resources and he expected them to invest them for his glory, to grow and increase them. So it's right throughout the Bible. God is absolutely wanting us to increase and grow what he has instructed or entrusted to us. And this point I didn't cover last week, but I think it's really important. And this is a quote from Greg Groeschel. I shared this with our staff last week. It's really good as you're talking about increase. This is what he says. If you are not intentionally preparing for growth, you are unintentionally preparing for decline. That's a clanger, that one. If you're not intentionally preparing for growth, so if we as a church are not being deliberate about seeing this place increase, then we are unintentionally preparing for decline. Why do I believe that with all my heart? Because nothing gets better by itself. You look at my kids' bedrooms. It never gets tidier by itself. I think it's one of the greatest arguments against evolution, is that nothing will ever get better by itself. We've been renovating our house for like 100 years now. Bit of an exaggeration. It won't renovate itself. It just never will. It will always decline. My lawns will never look better unless I am deliberate about making them look nicer. Nothing will ever get better unless we are incredibly deliberate. So when it comes to God's prosperity in our lives, God's goodness in our lives, that he expects us to increase as individuals and as a church, we have got to think bigger. We have got to prepare now for the increase that God wants to give us. And I only got one point finished last week, and we'll cover it really quickly. Enlarge the place of your tent. Now, ancient Middle Eastern tents were not like the pup tents that you buy from the warehouse. You can't really grow those. But the ancient Middle Eastern tents, because a lot of people lived in tents, especially if they were nomadic, they were made with skins and they were quite large. And their families were very communal, so they would just continue to live with the family. If your son got married, then they would continue to live in your tent, but you would expect the increase to come with a new family, so they would grow their tent. They would build on their tent in anticipation of the family that was gonna be born. And this is where we see Jesus encouraging his people, God encouraging his people now, enlarge the place of your tent. Before God can expand your influence, your calling, your ministry, your vocation, you must increase your vision. Because it's not saying that God's going to increase the tent. He's basically saying to us, you guys have got to be deliberate about this, and you start to anticipate the growth, and you increase your tent. So it's something that we've actually got to do ourselves. But a lot of the time, our vision is too small. We just think, well, you know, we don't have to increase our tent. We're doing fine as we are. Now, back in the Old Testament, God visits Abraham, and he's trying to encourage him that he is going to be the father of a whole nation of Israel. And they are talking in Abraham's tent. In Genesis 15, verse 5, then the Lord took Abraham outside the tent, obviously, and said to him, look up at the sky and count the stars if you can. That's how many descendants you will have. And Abraham believed the Lord, and the Lord counted him as righteous because of his faith. In Isaiah 40, it talks about that the heavens are God's tent. So our vision is too small. We've got to get outside of our own limitations and just have a look at how great God is. And how amazing he is, and what is possible with God, because all things are possible. Everything is possible. So we've got to be deliberate about exposing ourselves to things like church that encourages us to grow our vision. Because there's too much negativity in the world. We've just got to dodge that negativity. And hang out with people and places that really expand our vision. Obviously, the number one person is God. God's purpose for you is larger than you currently think. Your tent is too small. It's a word in season for us as a church, but I believe for many of us as individuals. God's purpose for you is much larger than you currently think, and your tent is too small. So let's get back to the verse. Enlarge the place of your tent. Point number two, stretch your tent curtains wide. Stretch. It sounds exactly like what it is. Stretch. Stretch your tent curtains wide. It is time for us to be stretched. God wants to stretch us, but it's like leading a horse to water. You can't make him drink. We've all got a free will, so we need to allow ourselves to be stretched by God. But stretching is not fun. Three very, very important points about stretching. Number one, if you stretch consistently, it increases your reach. If you stretch consistently, it increases your reach. Hands up if you can do the splits here. Couple of people at the back. That is awesome. You know, I was looking at, I don't know why you go down wormholes when you're researching a sermon, then you start to look about how to do the splits. You know, you can. It's possible for some people to learn how to do the splits in 2 weeks. And they had like 6 young people. Obviously, they were very young and a lot more supple than I am. But some of them were able to do that. And they say even for elderly people, if you start to stretch consistently, you will learn, you'll be able to do the splits. You'll be able to increase your reach. So if I knew that I was going to be preaching about this like 6 months ago, it would have been really awesome to like hear I can do it. But I'm not. It increases your reach. God wants our reach as a church, as people, to increase. And he will allow us opportunities for us to be stretched. We've got to allow ourselves to be stretched. Second fact about stretching, if you stretch consistently, it decreases the risk of injury. If you are stretched consistently, and this is just in the natural, then you run a lot less risk of being injured. That's why if you're doing any weight training or whatever, you've absolutely got to stretch, because if you don't stretch, you can injure yourself. You know, there are some people, and they're incredible disciples of Jesus, and it's like all hell gets thrown against them, and they are still sweet in spirit. They're still dancing before the Lord. They are just amazing. You wouldn't know the hardship and the challenges that they are facing. I think one of the reasons why they are like that is they've just learned to stretch consistently. They're not injured by what the earth and what the devil throws against them, because they've learned to be stretched by God. If you stretch consistently, it decreases the risk of injury. The third thing about stretching, if you stretch consistently, it increases your mobility. It increases your mobility. If you don't stretch, you will seize up. Now, a few years ago when I had my major knee surgery, it was painful. But the very next day, the doctors were saying, you've got to learn to move your knee as soon as possible. Start moving it again. If you don't move your knee, then it's just going to seize up, and it's going to take way longer to get all the mobility back. They say the number one reasons, or one of the major reasons why the elderly, a lot of them stop moving and they lose their mobility, the reason is they just stop moving. If you stop moving, you are going to stop moving. And their mobility gets less and less. That's why they really encourage, as you get older, we've got to keep physical. As Olivia Newton-John said once upon a time. Another reason why it's so important for us as a church and as people to stretch, it increases our mobility. If we don't keep moving in the things of God, we are going to stop moving. God wants you to be stretched so that he can increase your reach, increase your tenacity, decrease the risk of injury and increase your mobility. I know stretching is not fun. Stretching is painful. But let's embrace the stretch. When God comes along and from, you know, however he does it, gives us the opportunity and we know it's going to stretch us, let's say yes. And there is a thunderous applause because we're all just like, wow, it's so amazing. Yes, God. Increase the place of your tent. Stretch your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back. In the Hebrew, it means do not refrain, do not withhold, or do not restrain. So our natural response is always to hold back. When you think about it, when we come to worship, it's, you know, it's, we need to be deliberate in pushing through, but our response is just like, oh, I'm just going to hold back. Today, in surrendering to God, in commitment, in our generosity, our natural response is just to hold back. But the Bible is teaching us, do not hold back. But again, we see it's human nature. The rich young ruler, when Jesus was saying, come and be my disciple, he surrendered most of his life, but not all. King Saul in the Old Testament, he did most of what God had asked him, but he held back. He didn't give all. Ananias and Sapphira in the New Testament, they said they gave their all, but they held back. Jeremiah 29, verse 13. You will seek me and find me. This is what God's saying. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. We will find God when we don't hold back. And as I was saying last week, the disciples left everything and followed Jesus. They didn't hold back. I want to give an Old Testament example of this in 1 Kings chapter 19. This is the call of Elisha, which was Elijah the prophet was the mentor of Elisha. Elisha took over the ministry of Elijah. And you can sort of remember which way it goes because J comes before H, so Elijah or Elisha. So Elisha went and found Elijah went and found Elisha, son of Shaphat, plowing a field. There were 12 teams of oxen in the field, and Elisha was plowing with the 12th team. So it was a major farming thing. Elijah went over to him and threw his cloak over his shoulders, then walked away. That was symbolic of my mantle is going to become your mantle. My ministry, my calling, it's going to be yours. It was a big deal. Elisha left the oxen standing there, ran after Elijah and said to him, first let me go and kiss my father and mother goodbye, then I will go with you. Elijah replied, go on back, but think about what I have done to you. He's basically saying, yeah, this is a big deal. It's going to mean that you don't hold back. Spend some time and count the cost. And he continues to walk, and this is what Elisha did. So Elisha returned to his oxen and slaughtered them. He used the wood from the plow to build a fire to roast their flesh. He passed around the meat to the townspeople, and they all ate. Then he went with Elijah as his assistant. He did not hold back. He surrendered everything. He burnt his bridges. Some people say, well, you've got to have a fallback plan. Elisha burnt his fallback plan. He didn't even sell it on Trade Me. He could have probably gotten a lot of money for his cattle and for his whatever, his plows and stuff. He burnt it. He couldn't go back. And I'm not saying that we all go home now and we burn all our pets and stuff and we sell all our possessions on Trade Me. But the principle still applies. Let's not turn back. Let's surrender everything to God. Say, God, your plans and your purposes for me, I trust in them and I trust in you. Do not hold back. Enlarge the place of your tent, stretch your tent curtains wide, do not hold back, lengthen your cords. Now, we call them guy lines in tents. You know, you've got the tent, you've got the poles, and then you've got the cords or the rope or whatever they are. They're called guy lines, and they are secured to the ground with stakes, and they hold up the tent. So I just looked at the definition because I'd rather go to a batch than sleep in a tent. I've had some bad experiences with tents. A guy line is typically a cord that is used to secure a tent to the ground. In short, they provide structure and strength to the tent. Structure and strength to the tent. If you are going to enlarge your tent, you are going to have to change the rope. It is going to have to get longer. If you are going to have a bigger tent, your guy ropes, the things that hold up the tent, the structure and the strength must change. They must grow. You can't, maybe you had a tent this big and you had a little guy rope that was about this, but if your tent exponentially increases in size, a little dinky rope or a string going down to the ground to a little dinky stake, it is not going to hold up that the weight of that tent. The structure needs to change. The way you do things need to change. We understand that God wants to bring increase to this house and he wants to bring increase to our lives. If we are serious about that and deliberate about that, it means that we are going to have to change some of the ways we do things. We are going to have to embrace change. But people don't like change. We've gone to two services now, and even under COVID, you know, it's not empty in this place, and we're thinking for the expansion offering of combining it to one service, and then people are saying, Simon, don't do that, there's going to be too much people, and all this is going to happen, and it's true. You know, we've grown, and we've changed, and that's a good thing, but we can't really stay where we were, because we've got to change if God wants us to grow. That's why we're now introduce sign-ins and using the computers for the kids, because safety is a number one priority. But as we grow, we've got to change our systems. I guess there are two types of people. There's like conservative types of people and progressive types of people. And I'm not talking about like politics, but a conservative person is likes the way things have always been. It's like the traditional things, right? And a progressive person likes things to change. So for me, back in, and I've shared the story before, back in like 2000 as a youth pastor here, God did some incredible things. And we started to do things new. Our musical style was a lot more contemporary, and people, wow, Simon's changing everything. But we've changed. But that was a new thing. So for me, as a traditionalist, thinking, I want to go back to the way things were, that was a new thing back then. So in a way, I was sort of progressive anyway. So every traditional person will want to go back to the way things were, but the way things were was always a new thing. So whether we're conservative or progressive, we're all progressive. We always want to go back to a place where God brought his blessing. And we want to stay there and we want to camp there. But God wants us to increase our vision, increase our reach. He is wanting us to prepare for the new thing that he wants to do in and through our lives. But that is going to have to mean we embrace change. Lengthen your cords. If the tent size is going to increase, the support structures have to change. In other words, if our tent is going to be a blessing to more people, we will need to change how things are done. Embrace change. Who's ready to embrace change? Oh, yay, a bit more of a response than the other one. Lastly, enlarge the place of your tent, stretch your tent curtains wide, do not hold back, lengthen your cords, strengthen your stakes. So you've got the tent, you've got the ropes that are holding up, providing strength and structure to the tent, but those ropes have got to be secured into the ground with a stake. Strengthen your stake, or lengthen your stake. The weight of the enlarged tent demands that the cords are lengthened and that the stakes go deeper. This is a fact. You can't increase your tent unless you lengthen the cords and strengthen your stakes and those stakes to go deeper. If we want to do great things for God, we are going to have to go deeper into God. If we want to do great things for God, then we are going to have to go deeper into God. If we're going to increase our tents, then a little dinky. I was wanting to go and buy a little, like those plastic like stakes that you have when you've got your pup tents. And then I was wanting to buy like a big fence post, but then I thought it's not going to fit in my car. So just imagine it. For what God wants to do in this church and through your lives, a little plastic tent peg is not going to be enough, figuratively in how our relationship with God is. We are going to have to go deeper into God. We can't stay at that shallow level with Him. Just getting a few verses out of the parable of the sower in Matthew 13. Listen, a farmer went out to plant some seeds. Verse 5. Other seeds fell on shallow soil with underlying rock. The seeds sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow, but the plants soon wilted under the hot sun, and since they didn't have deep roots, they died. Then Jesus brings the explanation, verse 20. The seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy, but since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word or COVID-19 happens. We've got to have deep roots. And there's no substitute for that, guys. We need to go deeper into God. If we are really anticipating and preparing for increase, then we've absolutely got to strengthen our stakes and go deeper into God. Jeremiah 17, verse 5 onwards. This is what the Lord says. Cursed are those who put their trust in mere humans, who rely on human strength and turn their hearts away from the Lord. They are like the stunted shrubs in the desert with no hope for the future. They will live in barren wilderness in an uninhabited salty land. But blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and their confidence. They are like trees planted along a riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water. Here is a promise for us. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought or COVID-19, their leaves stay green, they never stop producing fruit. That is a promise for you and me if our roots go deep into God. And if we stay there, even in drought times, we are still going to be fruitful if our roots go down deep, if our stakes are deep into God. So in conclusion, enlarge the place of your tent, stretch your tent curtains wide, do not hold back, lengthen your cords, strengthen your stakes. Enlarge the place of your tent. God wants us to think bigger, prepare for growth. Stretch your tent curtains wide. He wants us to embrace the stretch. When opportunities for being stretched comes along our ways, to say yes to God. Do not hold back. Just don't settle for that. The fallen nature DNA, when it's like, I'm just going to hold back. Let's be people that are deliberate in surrendering all to Jesus. Lengthen your cords. Embrace change. And strengthen your stakes. Go deeper into God. And I know I shared finished the last message with this, but I love it so much. Charles Spurgeon, he had a mega church in the late 1800s. He was only a young guy in London. And this is what he says about this verse. This prophecy has been already fulfilled in great measure, and the very wording of it is a direction to us if we desire to see the church of God increased. Listen to that. It's very direct. It's a direction to us if we desire to see the church of God increased. Make ready for God's blessing. You who are pining and groaning for greater things than these, God is about to bless you. Enlarge your tents, lengthen the cords, and strengthen the stakes. Prepare for the coming blessing, for you are to have better and brighter days than you have ever yet known. Therefore, be sad no more, but look forward with joyful anticipation to the good things in store for you. I love that. I'm so encouraged. I'm so excited about what God's got for the future. And you might be saying, well, Simon, don't you realize we're in 2020 and craziness has happened everywhere? You read the Bible and you see there was never an opportune time that God moved. It always seemed to be in the most unopportune times. So God is not bound to if things are going well in our world or in your life or not. He's just saying, now we've got to make this decision. We've got to get out of our own restrictions and our own cynical thinking of our own tents, and we need to look up and understand how big God's tent is. That he can hold the oceans of the world in his hand if he wants it. You know, he can span the universe with his fingers. That's how big, that's how great our God is. Saying, Simon, this is what I've got for you. Renew Church, this is what I've got for you. Insert your name there. This is what I've got for you. Dream bigger. Because I'm a big God. Ephesians 3:16 says this, I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ, Jesus, will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. I love that verse. Jesus will make his home in your hearts as you trust him. You know, a lot of the time we're thinking, well, I don't want anyone to get into my heart, all those places that are broken and hurt and those rooms that I want to shut off. Now, we can't clean up our own lives. We really can't. We try, and we can sort of do a shallow job and make it look like we've got everything all together, but really deep inside, we can't change our heart. What we can do is we can open the door to the one person who can completely revolutionize our lives. And he just doesn't clean up our hearts. He gives us a new heart. He gives us a new life.
Thanks so much for listening. We hope it was an encouragement to you. To contact us or to find out what's happening at our church, please check out our website, renewchurch.nz.